Good morning, everyone. My name is Luke, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm really grateful that you're here. I think that video is really a great reminder because, as it mentions, a lot of surveys have determined that inviting people to church during Christmas is actually a legitimate thing. Like, people will actually come to church because they think that they're supposed to. Did you know that? And what's interesting is that I really do believe that people are always one invitation away from encountering God. And so it's a great thing to do. So we have in the bulletin, there's some postcards, but you can also find postcards all over the building. Grab a stack of them, bring them home, bring them to businesses that you frequent, bring them to your business, and go ahead and feel free to hand those out. We're going to have some really great Christmas Eve services. So anyway, I would like to pray, and then we're going to go ahead and get started in today's message. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for just the reality of your kingdom that has been coming and breaking into our world ever since Jesus entered onto the scene. And so we now invite your Spirit to speak to our hearts and our minds, and we pray that you would help us to think about what we hear and what we say over the course of the next 5.5 hours. Just kidding. But we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I like how some of you are like, 5.5 hours? What? How many of you, if you're a parent, how many of you would say that one of the most fun parts of parenting is the experiment of trying new things on your children? Yeah, some of you like that. It's like my favorite part. So, I'm always trying new things out on some of my kids, but two of them are in here, so they just need to plug your ears right now. But I'm always trying new things, and so one of my daughters, we can't say her name, but her name's Sadie, she likes to yell at people when she gets upset at them. And so yesterday I was trying to work on my sermon notes and just kind of finishing it up, and I was sitting there and I was really intent, being very spiritual and praying, you know, because I was like, you know, praying and reading the Bible and really in this holy moment. And I hear her, like, talking to her brother because he stole one of her toys or something. And she's like, it's orange! She starts yelling at him and freaking out. And I'm like, you know? And so then I was like, all right, this is a good moment. It's a teaching opportunity. So I was really quiet for about 2 minutes, didn't say anything. And then I just randomly started screaming at her, Sadie, get out of here, blah, blah. How do you like when people yell at you? And she starts crying, and I'm like, oh, it didn't work, and it was terrible. And I felt horrible because I was just trying to, like, show, that's what it feels like. And I lost my voice. So anyway, it was really, really a terrible experience. And I'll be doing a parenting seminar, though, in January. Going to take it. But anyway, so I lost my voice a little bit, so I'm going to try to get through this. But hey, last Christmas, last December was our family's first December here in Northern California, and it was awesome. We went and cut a tree. We drove all the way to Lassen. We cut a tree down, played in the snow, and then drove down here to the 70-plus weather, and it was awesome. And I was like, yeah, take that, Wisconsin! Yeah! And it was really great. But I started this new tradition where I shared last year, I shared my top 5 favorite holiday Christmas movies. And I shared them, and they were all, you know, Christmassy movies like Elf. How many of you like Elf? Elf's great. I, right now, currently want to have Elf on repeat because it's so good. And even National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Parts of it I skip, of course, because I'm a Christian, but I like that movie as well. But this year, I want to do something a little bit differently. I want to actually look at my favorite non-Christmas Christmas movies. So I just want to share 5 of them with you because I've been thinking this is important. You can start watching these right now. It'll be helpful for your Christmas experience. But my number one, actually it's my number 5. I'm starting from 5 to 1. But the first one is this, is Home Alone. How many of you like Home Alone? Just out of curiosity, all right. How many of you, this is an important question though, how many of you would agree that Home Alone 2 is better than Home Alone 1? All right, you guys are all, just leave the church. Just leave. Just leave. This is, all right. So, all right, but Home Alone's pretty good. It's number 5. My number 4 though, and this is because I'm really romantic. You can just ask my wife. She'll tell you I'm very romantic. But you've got mail. Yeah, right? How many of you over 38-year-olds in the room remember this one? All right. Just checking. And here's what I like doing about this movie. When we watch this movie, we both get our laptops out and try to go to AIM and message each other, but it doesn't exist anymore. There's no more AOL. But anyway, so that's my number 4. My number 3, this is a hard one because there's a lot of really good movies, but we definitely are going to go with Lethal Weapon. All right? I mean, just saying. And then When I really want to get in the Christmas mood, I like to go right here with gremlins because they're so cute. Don't give them water, though. And then finally, now, if we have to pick a number one non-Christmas Christmas movie of all time, the best is Die Hard. Absolutely, right? Yippee-ki-yay, Merry Christmas. I love it. Such a good movie. But those are my top five non-Christmas Christmas movies. You should definitely watch them over the course of the next month. But we're actually starting a new sermon series today. It's the first Sunday of Advent, first Sunday of the Christmas season, and we're starting a new series that we're calling Caroling Through Christmas. And let me ask this question. How many of you in the room remember back in the day when MTV and VH1 actually played music videos? Like, it was the best, right? I mean, that's what my mom and dad wouldn't let me watch MTV because they were legalistic. But anyway, I would always go to my friend's house and I'm like, oh, I want to find out what the hot new music is. And so we watched music videos and I could do it all day long. I mean, it was like my favorite thing. Yo, MTV Raps, anybody in the house like MTV? It was like the best, right? It's like, yeah, so I loved it. And then what happens, this is really quick. So what happened in my life is I got married and I became uncool, like instantaneously, okay? Before I got married, I knew it was cool. I could tell you all the musicians. Then I got married and I was like, I don't know anything anymore. We don't do anything. We just hang out and because we love each other. We just want to date each other all the time. That's what I was told. And so we were trying to like get cool though because we had all these younger friends and they were telling us about all these new shows on MTV. And I was like, all right, we need to find out what's cool and hip. So our friends told us about this really sweet show called Jersey Shore. And so, oh, some of you have heard of it. So we're like, well, let's find out about Jersey Shore. Let's get it. And so we went to Blockbuster. There was this thing back in the 90s and the 2000s where you can go and rent DVDs. Okay? It's crazy. DVDs are discs you put into a DVD play. Okay, so we went there and we rented the DVDs. We're like, got the whole season. And we got three seasons, I remember. So we're like, go home, push play. And if you ever watched it, imagine my face. I was like this the whole time. Because it was horrible. Anybody watch it? Honestly, watch, just t-shirt time, right? I mean, it was like it was like seeing a car accident. You couldn't look away. It was like, oh, it was terrible. So we watched that reality TV, and it was like, reality TV has ruined television. Amen? All right, so anyway, that was like our introduction into the new MTV. But I remember when MTV and VH1 stopped playing music videos, but there was one show that actually I really enjoyed, and it was this TV show that many of you in this room might remember. It's still on today, but it's called Behind the Music. Anybody remember that? All right, anybody watch it? All right, I would watch this show, and I loved it because I would learn all of the details about some of my favorite bands. Like, when I wanted to know why NWA broke up. It's like, why do they break up? Okay, and so with that in mind, what we've done this month is we're actually going to go behind the music, but we're going to look at Christmas carols. And so instead of behind the music, we're going behind the carols. And what we're going to do is we're going to spend time looking at the carols and how they developed and how they were written and who wrote them and actually have a biblical understanding for the theology that we're singing throughout the month of December. In some ways, today is going to be kind of like setting the table, though. We're just going to prompt your thinking towards Advent because this time of the year is supposed to orient our minds, our hearts, and our lives around the birth of Jesus. And so that's essentially what we're going to try doing throughout this month. And so I like social media a fair amount. There's a lot of things about social media that drive me crazy. And there's people on the internet. If you have Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever you do, there's things called trolls. Anybody ever heard of troll? Like, you post something and they're always trolling your posts and making crazy ideas and taking over and hijacking your posts, right? So I have a new theory. My thing is to post troll things initially, so that way it just keeps them away or it draws them in and it's just fun to mess with them. So I posted this week about carols, and all of these people, Kelly Lindauer, were responding to my trolling about Christmas caroling. And one of the things that happened in one of the conversations was, what is my favorite carol? Like, if I had to pick one Christmas carol to sing for the entire month of December, what would it be? So I was thinking about that. And obviously, Oh Christmas Tree's pretty good, but nope. And then Jingle Bells is good. And so what happened for me is I spent time thinking about what would be the greatest Christmas carol to sing all of the month of December, I am convinced that it is this song right here, Joy to the World. And so what I want to do for the duration of our time here is actually look at behind the Christmas carol, behind this song, Joy to the World, and spend some time kind of learning a little bit about who wrote it and what is it based off of. So this is kind of my attempt to do behind the carol, okay? And so we're going to start with this. Who wrote this song? Okay, it's this guy right here named Isaac Watts. Now, Isaac Watts is a British guy, all right? And he looks sweet, doesn't he? But he wants you to know that he is in the Christmas spirit. Boom, okay? He is. He's got a Christmas hat. But Isaac Watts lived in the 17th and 18th century in England. And so he was an English hymn writer and theologian. And what's really cool about Isaac Watts is that he didn't just write theology, he also wrote songs for the churches to sing, because Isaac Watts knew that oftentimes the best way to actually get good theology is to sing good music. And that's the way that we actually are shaped and formed in the vineyard. We have a lot of space for music. He was an English hymn writer and theologian. He actually wrote about 750 hymns. That's a lot of songs, right? And so because of that, he's considered the godfather of English hymnody. Now, when I was growing up, I listened to a lot of hip-hop. I like hip-hop. That's probably my favorite song. And if you were the godfather, it meant you were gangster, okay? So he's going to get a gold chain this morning, all right? Because he's the godfather of English hymnody. He began writing rhymes, though, as a child. And so essentially, he spent most of his life, he wrote 750 hymns, and a lot of them are timeless classics that we still sing in some of our churches. And he also never got married, which is why he wrote 750 hymns. Just wanted to let you know that's why he did it, okay? And so that's kind of the man behind the song, Joy to the World, Isaac Watts. But here's a couple of things about the background of Joy to the World that I think are kind of fascinating as we're singing that song this morning. The first is this. He included this song in a book he wrote. And listen to the title of this book. The Psalms of David, imitated in the language of the New Testament and applied to the Christian state and worship. That was the name of his book that he wrote that included this hymn. We also see that this carol is based on three passages of Scripture. And so if you're curious of those passages, it's Psalm 98, Psalm 96, and in Genesis chapter 3. And those are the three passages that he based his entire song on when he was writing this, which is a pretty cool thing to do. Now, really quickly, I want us to think about this question. Why did Isaac Watts want us to have joy? And when he wrote this song, he did not write this song saying, hey, I'm writing a Christmas song. He actually wrote this song in order to raise our esteem in a certain direction. He wanted us to have joy. And so I want us just to look really quickly at the four verses here. But what's interesting here is that he wrote this song, and it's actually more about Christ's second coming than it is about his first coming. And for those of you who might be new to the vineyard or new to church, or those of you who've been around for a long time, one of the things that we read in Scripture is that Jesus was born, he came to this earth, the incarnation, but he also promised that one day he would return again, and he is going to set up his kingdom on earth and actually make everything that's wrong with our world right. And so this song is actually more about that. And here's some examples of this, okay? First verse, joy to the world, the Lord has come. And so he starts out with this encouragement for the people of God to have joy because of the fact that God, listen to that, God himself has actually entered into our world, okay? So joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. The second verse, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men, their songs, by the way, and women, it's the culture of the old school. Let men and women their songs employ. And then he says, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. All of nature itself is repeating the sounding joy. Third verse here, he says we should have joy because no more will sin and sorrows grow. No more will the curse that happened at the fall affect all of creation. And this is obviously clearly about Christ's second coming, but it was started at the first. And then finally, I love, this is like the verse that always gets me. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love and wonders, wonders of his love. And so what the author, Isaac Watts, is doing for us as followers of Jesus is essentially to place our joy in the coming of Jesus, both his birth and also the promise of his future coming too. And so that's essentially the kind of behind the scenes, behind the music, so to speak, about Christmas, about this song, Joy to the World. And so just for a minute here, if we could think about a couple things related to the birth of Christ being the reason for joy. Now, like in my life, I grew up in the church. And as many of you know, if you've been around, like that's I'm a byproduct of churchianity. And so like I've been trying to figure out things for a long time as to what is real, what's not so real. I got lots of questions. We always have sirens going on around here. Welcome to the Vineyard. It's how we do things. It's because of the music. It's so off the chain. Dan, good job, right? Yeah. So anyway, I grew up with this like challenge of Christmas being not really that important to me because I just took it for granted, so to speak. And then one thing that's really been difficult for me to wrestle with all throughout my life is the commercialization of Christmas. Is anybody else in the room like really frustrated by that? Yeah, like it's overwhelming sometimes. In fact, it's just like all of a sudden our culture just shifts. As soon as Thanksgiving gets across the line, all of a sudden our culture shifts and it's all just, you know, commercialized. And so it's really frustrating. In fact, you know, a number of years ago, I was just really wrestling with that. I just could not get into the spirit of Christmas at all. In fact, I mean, at our church, we were pastoring out in Wisconsin. I would just really like want to take all of December off because everybody would just annoy me. Everything about it was annoying. And I was at the store. I was at Target, and we were doing some Christmas shopping. And I was just standing there, and I was kind of reflecting on that. And then these kids behind me are just fighting, and they're arguing over the toys that they want, and arguing, and I'm just like even more and more frustrated until Don was like, hey, can you please take care of our kids because they're fighting a lot? And then I was like, oh, they're my kids. This is what is going on here. So frustrating. And so I was like, oh, just overwhelmed with the whole entire December season because of the commercialization. And I was kind of frustrated because I knew that I had an opportunity with Christmas. In fact, that's one of the things I just want to remind you is that in the month of December, our culture and our society definitely commercializes things, but there's an openness to the spirit of Christmas in some ways that can be an effective means to talk about Jesus and generosity and grace and the kingdom and love and all these really beautiful things. And so I was really like wrestling with that. And so what I did is I was like, you know what, I'm just going to start spending some time really studying on the birth of Jesus. And so I spent time, I read the Gospel of Luke over and over again, John chapter 1, just read all these narratives, every passage of scripture on the incarnation. And as it was happening, what started to happen inside of me was very similar to this reality of having a completely new perspective and worldview. Like, how many of you have ever seen a puppy discover snow for the first time? It's like, it's so pretty, right? Like, oh my gosh, that was me. I was like, Christmas is amazing. And when it happened, all of a sudden I was like, we need to drink eggnog immediately. And we also need to buy Christmas trees and get Christmas lights and buy presents. And it was like, it really just became this really beautiful, beautiful thing for me and my appreciation for this time of the year. And so here we have this idea of the birth of Christ. And the birth of Christ, for the writer of Joy to the World, is saying that the birth of Christ should raise our joy levels as the people of God. Like, it actually should raise our rejoicing, our hearts towards this beautiful picture of God entering into our world for the sake of our salvation. And so if you're looking at Scripture, in the Gospel of Luke, which I love the Gospel of Luke because the name Luke is just a great name. It's very godly. But in the Gospel of Luke, we actually have a really detailed story of the birth of Christ, and the author, being Luke, actually wants us to see that the story of the world receiving Jesus in the flesh is actually a story of the world finally finding full joy. That's actually what the story is about. It's about finally the world coming to understand how joy can enter into the world. And so the story of Jesus' birth, if you're looking in Luke chapter 1, it actually begins with the birth of John the Baptist. So before Jesus was born, this man named John the Baptist is born, and John the Baptist was born to prepare the way of the Lord. But listen to this narrative really quick. And the angel is speaking to Elizabeth, who is John the Baptist's mom's husband, Zechariah. Okay, Zechariah, Elizabeth, married, have baby, John the Baptist. The angel says this, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Don't be afraid that your wife is going to have a baby and you're old. You're old. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have a great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. And so John the Baptist's birth, which precedes Jesus' birth just by a few days, is actually preparation, and it's marked by joy and gladness. And so even before Jesus was born, the message of his birth was a message of joy. It was a message of joy. And so it goes on in Luke chapter 1 to describe Jesus' birth a bit. But before that, it actually has this narrative where Elizabeth, who is Mary's cousin, actually comes and sees each other. And listen to this. Mary entered the house and greeted her cousin Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child, John the Baptist, in the belly, leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad, joyful cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said." And so all over the narratives that describe Jesus' birth, you see this overwhelming sense of joy. And so I just would love to encourage you this morning that we're moving into this season. And for some of you, there's like challenges with Christmas. Absolutely, there's challenges. We're going to talk about a few of those in a couple seconds here when we spend a few minutes praying. But what's interesting is that this is an opportunity for us to actually have joy and to root our joy in something that's far more long-term, far more sustainable, far more powerful than some of the things that we often make us happy. Here's the big idea, the one big idea of what I'm getting at this morning. If you look at the song Joy to the World, you'll find this. The birth of Jesus calls for us to rejoice because King Jesus came into the world to save sinners and also to spread his joy. And the beautiful thing about this reality is this. This is what I think is so markedly different than some other things that we sometimes hear about other religions, is that when Jesus came to give us joy, he came to give us joy that would transform and change our lives, but he also gave us joy that transforms our lives that we can take and share with the world around us. And so in this month of December, we just spent a whole month talking about generosity. We now have many opportunities throughout the month of December to actually express gratitude and gratefulness and express generosity in joyful ways. And it's actually something that I think can be very contagious for people. And so if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to encourage you just to stand up for a few minutes here. And we'd like to just spend a few minutes here praying into a few things. I think, is Crystal here? There you are, right in the front. So, hey, could we all give a round of applause for Crystal just to let her know how much we love her? She's so good. I've known Crystal for almost a year.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've learned about Crystal over the course of the last year is that Crystal hears from God. And if you know Crystal, you'll know that she hears from God. Like, she'll share things with me. She'll say, "Hey, Luke, I was praying, and I felt like the Lord gave me this thing," and I'm always like writing it down. I'm like, "That is awesome, like so good." And she just has a spiritual gift. And at the Vineyard, we always say that we want people to function in their spiritual gifts. Amen? Like, we want people to utilize the giftings that God's given them for the good of God's kingdom and for our flourishing. And so I have been asking Crystal, you've seen her up here the last couple of weeks, because every week I'm saying, "Hey, Crystal, would you pray? And would you see if the Lord wants to speak to our church about anything that might be relevant for people's lives?" And so she's praying and praying and praying, and Crystal has something that she wants to share that I think we can pray into.
Yeah, I was just praying this week, and I really felt like God just wanted to bring to light that there's a lot of emotions that I feel like a lot of us are feeling that feel like they're really overwhelming, and they're kind of right up to here, ready to just unload, and that we're spending a lot of time and energy keeping them down because we feel like it's too overwhelming or too scary to deal with them, or we feel like if we really let it out, we don't know what that's going to look like in this busy season. We don't have time to deal with them. And I really feel like he wanted to bring this out today because he wants you to know that that it's not too much for you, that it feels like it's a lot, but actually, if you let it out, you'll experience freedom. And there's this tendency to feel when we keep things in that we are alone and that we're isolated, and it really keeps us from having freedom and from sharing in our community and letting our community come and gather around us.
And so when Krista was sharing that with me this morning, one of the things that just kind of, I guess, popped into my mind was that, so like Christmas can be really a great, powerful time of the year for many people, but then other people it can be really a terrible time of the year because you might have lost your mother recently, or you might have never had a mom, or maybe your Christmases were just terrible all growing up. And so like December comes along and all these people have their, you know, it almost looks like fake joy and it's hard to be around them. And so I just felt like maybe that's something that is related to what Crystal's saying, is that if you're here this morning and you have a lot of different feelings that are related to this time of year, maybe you're stressed out because there's a lot of stress involved with this time. In fact, I was meeting with a woman on Friday, and she was just telling me how December is something that she hates December because she feels so much stress to host all these different holiday dinners. And she was like, I just want to skip to February. And so if you're here this morning and you can connect with any of that stuff, if there's just any stress or overwhelming senses of feelings of frustration or fear or anxiety, or maybe you just have a lot of hurt and pain this morning, we would just love to pray for you. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask everybody to close their eyes and just bow your heads right now. And, you know, God knows exactly where you're at. At the Vineyard here, we obviously have times where we'll invite people to come forward, or we'll come in, we'll pray for you, whatever it is needed. But right now, this morning, if you at all can connect with any of those feelings, if you have just fears or anxieties or stress or worries, or you have hurts from past experiences you've had, I would like to just encourage you right now, just to where you're at, just to put your hands up. And we just want to pray for you. You don't have to worry about anybody else around you, but just for you to say, yes, Lord, I would like to receive some peace this morning. So I'm just going to ask Crystal now just to pray for everyone in this room that either has raised their hands or has their hands up, or even if you're not able to this morning, raise your hands, but you can connect with those things. Crystal's just going to pray for each one of you now.
Now, Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and bring comfort and peace to all these people, and that you would just remind them that they're not too much for you, that their pain and their anger and their anxiety is not too overwhelming for you. It's not too big for you. That they're not too much for the people around them, that it's safe to share and to unload and to let go. Lord, I ask that throughout this week, you bring people into their lives that gives them opportunity to open up and share in a safe environment. Lord, that they would be free to enjoy this Christmas season, and that that wouldn't take all of their energy away from the joy, Lord. That they would be able to, that even though everything wouldn't be solved, that it wouldn't overtake their thought life anymore. Praise you, God. Thank you.
And Father, I would like to pray for everybody in this room to be able to experience and to live in this joy that we see in Scripture, as well as in this song, Joy to the World. And so we take comfort this morning knowing that you deeply love us, you deeply care for us. And Father, I pray by the power of your Spirit, if there's anybody in this room that does not feel loved by you or does not know the deep, abiding love of God, would your Holy Spirit right now fill their hearts, fill their minds, and help them to see how much you loved them, so much so that your Son Jesus willingly came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. And I pray for your peace, and I pray for your goodness to go with us as we go into our city, this beautiful city that you've called us into, and represent your kingdom. We pray this in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. And all of God's people who agreed said, amen. Hey, you folks have a great week. I want to encourage you. We are singing Christmas carols today. So come back to the Vineyard at 4:15, and we're going to go bless people with our joyful singing.